Hello and welcome to Reflections. I'm your girl Nadine Edwards. Thank you for joining. I hope as you listen today, you will be inspired, uplifted, motivated in your continued pursuit of becoming a better version of yourself. Today, I want to reflect on the life of one of my favorite characters in the Bible, Joseph. His story is found in the book of Genesis between chapters 37 and 50. And when you read it, there are so many themes you can pull from this character's life. Talk about leadership, finance, spirituality, stewardship, relationship. But today I want to focus on the power of forgiveness. Hence my topic, the spoke in the wheel. Before I get into his story, I want to remind you of what God says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the plans I think towards you. Put your name there. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Some of us are born to be great. Some of us are born to be excellent leaders. And with that, I just want to remind you, there's purpose on your life. So from this text that God speaks over you, He's saying, there's purpose on your life. I have big plans for you. Because God is not a God who thinks small. He thinks big of us. That's why he said in Ephesians 3 verse 20, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. God thinks big of you. He thinks big of me. And so it's very important that you understand that along the way, obstacles will come. There's no successful person in this world with whom you speak and they tell you that the road to their success was paved. We all know that before we get to that actual point of achieving our goals or realizing our dreams, we come upon obstacles and hindrances. Some of them come in the form of processes that get in the way, that stop us in our tracks. Call those spoke in the wheel. Some of them come in the form of dealing with other human beings who get in the way of us realizing our dreams. And when we talk about humans becoming a spoke in the wheel, it's very important we understand how to navigate that, because this is how the enemy works to become a showstopper in many of our ways. You must understand that there are evil forces at work in play to disrupt your life, whether in your family, in your career, in your church community, in your friendship circles, in whatever aspect of your life. He is seeking to destroy us. That's why the word of God says, be vigilant, because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whomever he may devour. And when the Bible speaks about devour here, he's talking about he wants to kill us. But it's the grace of God that continues to protect us and keep us as we go from day to day. So understand this. The spoke in the wheel is the very people that crosses your path to make sure you never realize your purpose, the dreams that God has in store for you. You may think you're living your best life right now, but you're not, because there's a spoke in your wheel called unforgiveness. And I want to get into the story of Joseph. And then we'll see how, if this particular spoke was not addressed or removed from the wheel, you would not have attained to the level of governor. Little did this young man know that his future was bright. Little did this young man know that he was born to be great. Many of you listening, you're born to be great. Have you ever gotten that feeling that you know deep inside your heart, you were born to do something great? You were born to make a difference. And somehow you feel like you're kicking against the brick in your life. You feel like your life is going around in circles. You feel like there's more to you, but you just can't get past a certain point. But I'm here to tell you that God is working in the back end, but you have a part to play. There's some house cleaning that you need to do. Can I say that? Let's get into the story. So Joseph was the second to last of Jacob's
12 sons. He and his youngest brother, Benjamin, were born to the same mother, but she died in childbirth while having Benjamin, the last son. So Jacob loved Joseph because he had him in his old age. And so the other 10 just never liked Joseph. The Bible said they hated him. They hated him because of how the father favored him. He placed a coat of many colors on him. I would imagine that coat looked expensive. So when the brothers saw him, wore it. They were jealous of him. They hated him. And not only that, the father used to send him out in the field to see what they were doing and then come back and report to him. So they never liked him for who he was and for the role he played. And what made matters worse was that he got 2 dreams, and they basically had the same meaning. The first dream was that he was gathering sheaves of grain in the field, and his sheaves stood upright, and his brother's sheaves came towards his and bowed down and worshiped his sheaves. Then the other dream was that he saw the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowing down to him. Even his father was irritated by what he dreamt, but the Bible said he kept it in his mind, but his brothers hated him the more. Do you have control over your dreams? Do you, when you go to bed to sleep, do you tell yourself what to dream or how to dream? I just don't understand how some people, when you tell them what you dreamt, they want to almost respond in a way that you should have dreamt differently, but you really don't have any control over your dream. You're just sharing what you actually dreamt. But the lesson I got from this little scenario was that sometimes we have to be careful who we share our dreams with, whether they be friends or family, because we're dealing with people here. People will be people, and everybody carries a different kind of spirit. Some carry good spirit, some carry a jealous spirit, and some people just can't help themselves. So I know that we love family, but it's very important that we have a sense of discernment, understand who we are dealing with, whether friends or family, and deal with them accordingly. Joseph was young anyhow, 17 years old at the time. I asked myself the question, after he dreamt the first dream and he shared it with them, he should have realized their response, their reaction to the dream, and not only in that scenario, how they dealt with him before when he got the coat, and when he used to go interact with them in the field, or how their body languages were and how their tone. He must have had enough sense to recognize that his brothers were not into him, because hate is something that really can't hide for very long. It shows up in your facial expression, your body language, your tone. And if you have sense, especially discernment, you will know when somebody's not into you. And so after the first dream, I just don't understand why Joseph told them the second one. Was he trying to mock them or be up in their faces or what? Or was he really genuinely naive and innocent? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he just wanted their approval and just wanted to be among them and to just be brothers with them. So this particular day when the father sent him out to see what was happening in the field, they saw him from a distance coming and plotted to kill him. This is blood family we're talking about. Stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this. So they plotted to kill him, and the eldest Reuben says, we should not kill our brothers. Blood will be on our shoulders. So he said, let us cast him in the pit, but don't kill him. So they cast him in the pit, which had no water. And they went to eat. And then one of them saw some Ishmaelites coming, making their way to Egypt with spices and all kind of things on their carts. And so they said, let us sell him to these men. And they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. By the way, if you check out the playlist Bible Story Joseph on my channel, you will see that I made an animated series on his life. So they sold him to Egypt for 20 pieces of silver. And when he got to Egypt, Potiphar, a man that was captain of the guard for the king, bought him. Here we see that Joseph was in a very low place in his life, being disconnected from his family, in a new country, among a new set of people that he do not even know. As low as he perhaps was at this point, God was working in the back end for him, because here he was purchased by someone connected to politics. and he brought him and placed him in his home. And the Bible said, Potiphar observed him and realized that God was with him, and everything he did, he prospered. And so he promoted him, if you will, to become his assistant, which meant that Joseph was in charge of everything in this man's house, even his money. I want to stick a pin here and say that you're always being watched. Eyes are always on you. It serves you well to always be on your best behavior, because your life can change in the twinkle of an eye just by making your behavior speak for you, because action speaks louder than words. And Joseph must have shown himself, as young as he was, responsible in how he conducted his affairs. He must have worked to the best of his ability, done his job in a timely way, showed up for work punctually, and was manageable in how he dealt with his colleagues, people on his level, and people above him. So he was respected, and Potiphar placed him in charge of everything except his wife. And while you prosper, bear in mind that you're going to always have people who watch you and hate you for what is happening for you. And they're going to try to become showstoppers or become a spoke in your wheel. When your world is turning and things are going well, watch out for the showstoppers who come to disrupt the flow of your life. Because here comes the wife. The Bible said Joseph was handsome, tall, well-built, and the wife wanted to sleep with him. Here we see a young man who was deliberate about right doing, a man of honesty and integrity. Because when Potiphar's wife asked that he sleeps with her, his response was, "But your husband entrusts everything to me except you, because you're his wife. How can I then do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He didn't even say and offend Potiphar. He says against God. So for Joseph, God came first. When you put God first in your life, you're being set up for nothing but blessings. I guarantee you, when you put God first, God will favor you beyond you can ever imagine. So the day came when there was no one in the house, and she thought that Joseph would have compromised. And he said no, and while he was saying no, she grabbed onto his coat and he ran out of his coat for his life. And she used his coat to free him and told her husband that he tried to sleep with her, and when she screamed, he ran out of his coat. And then comes the jail cell. And the Bible said Potiphar threw Joseph into prison. Here comes pit number two. I want you to understand that the evil one, the Satan, knew that there was purpose on this young man's life. The spoke in the wheel is unforgiveness. If there's purpose on your life, and you allow this spoke to get in your way, you cannot fulfill the purposes God has for you. Because here we're going to see shortly that because Joseph dealt with this spoke in the wheel, he was able to become governor. So he was cast into prison. And the Bible said God was with him. Let me tell you, in your lows, God is with you. In your highs, God is with you. In your good times, God is with you. In your bad times, God is with you. God is faithful. And he allows adversity to come upon us for character building, to take us to the next level. Remember when the three Hebrew boys were cast into the fire? When they came out, they were promoted. That's a side point. So when you're going through your afflictions and your adversities, do not complain. Stay in prayer. Hold fast to what you believe. Remain in God. Call upon God's name if you don't already know him. And he will help you. Just wait. He's always, always working in the back end. And so the warden of the prison put Joseph in charge of the others. So there was a day when two men were cast into prison, connected to the palace. One was the cupbearer and the other was the baker. They work in close connection with the king. You talk about a God who is strategic. See, Joseph's life is on a certain trajectory. He's on a certain path because these guys were connected to politics. They were connected to the top. They were connected to the presidency, if you will. He was destined for greatness. On one particular night, they both had the same dream. And Joseph was able to interpret the dream. When you're in step with God, when you're in connection with God, God is going to provide what you need to get you to your breakthrough. After Joseph interpreted the dream, he said to the one, because one was going to die and one was going to be reinstated in his position, and he asked that he remember him. He didn't remember him. 2 years had passed after he was reinstated. But you see, God, whatever plans God intended for you, it doesn't matter who tries to get in your way, it's going to be done. Satan may try to slow up the process. That's one form of spoke in the wheel. But whatever is for you will come to pass. It doesn't matter how long it takes, it will come to pass when God speaks over your life. Because that very same guy who says, I will remember you, he was forced to remember him because there was a day when the king had a dream and none of the king's magicians, soothsayers, sorcerers would tell him what he dreamt, much more to interpret it. And that is how strategic God can be, because if the king could have remembered the dream, they would have come up with some interpretation that sounded good to him. But the secret things belong to God, and God reveals his secrets unto his servants. And so the king made a death decree to say that if you can't interpret this dream within a certain time, all of you will be dead. And so the cupbearer was forced to remember that there was a man in the prison that interpreted his dream, that played out spot on, and Joseph's name came up. So the king sent for him immediately, and Joseph was able to tell him what he dreamt and interpret the dream. The secret things belong to God. God reveals his secrets to his servants. And after Joseph interpreted the dream, he said, you're going to need some good organizers to mitigate against what is coming upon the world, even Egypt. In the dream, there were 7 fatted calves that represented prosperity. The country was experiencing that at the time. But he said, in another 7 years, you're going to have drought represented by the 7 skinny cows he saw. And he says that drought is going to be so severe, a drought you have never seen before. And so the king says, what better man? There's no better man but you, Joseph, to be in charge of this affair. And immediately, Joseph was promoted. I say this to you, when you go through your storms, do not complain. God is preparing you for the next level. He's developing your character. When people cross your path and rub you the wrong way, it's very important that you keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. That's Proverbs 4, verse 23. God promoted Joseph for his faithfulness. He was destined for greatness, but he could have gotten in his own way. He could have gotten in God's way, but he kept his heart. And here's how he kept his heart. When his brothers, 10 brothers, not one of them defended him, not one of them stood for him. When his 10 brothers threw him in the pit, that was enough to hate them. That was enough to resent them, because besides, he knew that they already hated him. This could have been enough for him to hate them back and harbor that hatred in his life for as long as he lived. These very same brothers, along with their father, was going to need to come to Egypt sometime in the future for food, for survival. Have you ever heard the scripture that says, the stone that the builders rejected became the head cornerstone? God strategically placed Joseph in a position of leadership. He was so elevated that he was second in command to the king. Nobody was above him but the king. He called the shots, and he could have done whatever he wanted in that position. But God had to prepare him for that leadership role, because if Joseph had harbored hatred and unforgiveness in his heart, he would not be promoted, because God needed him to be at a place of maturity and readiness to deal with even his enemies. Because the Bible says in Romans 12 somewhere, I forgot the verse, if your enemy is hungry, give him food, give him bread. It will heap coals of fire on his head, which means it will bother his conscience. To show you that the enemy was trying to derail Joseph's future and destiny, when the woman framed him and caused her husband to throw him in the pit, that's another attack upon his life. That's another heavy affliction. Has anybody ever told a lie on you? that you know you never did? I recall when I was 10 years old, when I was going to primary school, I was very good with math. Out of everybody in the class, the teacher called on me to count the money because during break time, they used to sell snacks, ice cream and those things. So I controlled the money for the ice cream. So she scooped the ice cream and I collected the money and check it off and everything. And I will never forget, one particular day, she thought that the money should have been more and she accused me of stealing. I forgave her, but I never forget it. It's a wicked thing. It's a wicked feeling. It's a horrible feeling when someone tell a lie on you. So the enemy put another spoke in the wheel. But Joseph dealt with it. He was resilient. He stayed in prayer. He stayed connected to God and got through his affliction. So I say to you, if you are harboring unforgiveness in your life, you cannot realize the true plans God has for you until you let that person go or let those people go. It could be a family member just like Joseph. It could be a co-worker. It could be someone whom you were close friends with. It could be someone from your church. I want us to take notice of this particular text found in Mark 11 verses 24 and 25. Verse 24 says, "Whatsoever you desire, believe that you receive it and you shall have it." And the following verse says, "If you have anything against anyone, forgive them." Because Jesus knows that unforgiveness is a spoke that can get in our wheel and block us from receiving the very blessings he has in store for us. So forgiveness is very important to keep our wheel moving in the direction God wants to take us. Remove that spoke of unforgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift. God has been extending it to you. Accept it. As long as we live, we're going to always have people who we offend and people who offend us. Forgiveness is very important. It keeps the wheel turning. It keeps you moving forward. Forgiveness. And besides, that is what the salvation process is all about. While we understand that God loves us, it is forgiveness that liberated us. It is forgiveness that made our place in God's kingdom secure. It is because God forgave us while Jesus came on this earth to die in our place. Forgiveness. And so, as God forgives, he expects us to forgive others. And every day we pray for forgiveness again. Because sometimes we sin and don't even know that we sin. In our thoughts, perhaps in our words and something we did. So as we get up every day, we say, "God, forgive me of my trespasses. Forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who sin against me." God also said in his word, I will provide a link for all these references, these text references. "If you do not forgive your brother, neither will I forgive you." So many of us are walking around unforgiven. You refuse to give that sister or that brother or that co-worker or that friend. You refuse to forgive them of what they did to you. So you're walking around unforgiven because God said, and forgiveness only harms us. And if the mind is not right, the body responds accordingly when it's weak. Because when you're sick, you're weak. And you need your mind to command your body to wellness. And if your mind is corroded, it slows up your healing process. Many of you are so weighed down by the spirit of unforgiveness. You can't float. You can't fly. Your life cannot go to the next level because you're heavy. You're carrying around too much on your heart. Proverbs 4:23, I repeat, "Keep your heart with all diligence because out of it flows the issues of life, your blessings, your future." Forgive that person today. That's my appeal to you. And watch how liberating that is. If you listen to my other podcast, you will understand that I too went through a phase of my life where I never spoke with my father and I had him up in my heart. I refused to forgive him of how he treated me in my childhood. But there was a point when God said, it is time to let it go. Because there's no way I can enter through God's gates, the gate of his eternal kingdom, with this spirit of unforgiveness. You're going to church and you're harboring unforgiveness on your heart. Just be reminded that we cannot enter through the gates of God's kingdom with unforgiveness on our hearts. let it go. When you truly forgive someone, you're at peace with them. You can do them good. Some of you may be forced to keep your distance. That's okay. But if they need your help, be there. Because true forgiveness is looking at them as if they never sinned. That is the way God looks at us, as if we have never sinned. I put it to you this day. Take the spoke out of that wheel. And do not be a spoke in another person's wheel. God bless you and walk good. Thank you for listening to today's reflections. Join me again next week for another episode. Until then, stay blessed.